My name's Scott. I serve on staff here in the marriage ministry. I've been on staff for about 10 years. Married to Kristen for about 15 years, a little over 15. Throw our picture up there if you don't mind. We have four boys, twins that are 12, a 9-year-old, almost 10, and a 7-year-old who turns 8 tomorrow. So we are very well acquainted with busyness. I've entitled this Exploring Busyness, a short talk on a really, really big problem. And so if you fill in the blanks, I've heard it said before about busyness that this is the great equalizer among every single one of us. Regardless of our age, stage of life, whatever we do, we have this one thing in common. We can all make different amounts of money. We come from different families. We have different situations. We want to make more of money. We can do that. We cannot make more time. We all have 168 hours a week, 24 hours a day. I want to acknowledge this is a big problem for every single one of us. There might be a 6-month-old somewhere in the world who is just enjoying a good bath and that's all they have to do in life. There might be an old lady in a nursing home. You throw that picture up there, it's too good to not show the picture of my old lady friend. Okay, those might be the only non-busy people in the entire world. This is a universal issue that affects every single one of us. The good thing is in this time together, I'm not going to solve your problem, my problem with busyness, but I want to give you three scriptures that I think will guide our time with busyness and the way we think about our schedules, and then three things I want you to think through. So number one is that God knows how much time we have, every single one of us. Psalm 90:12, teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And so God knows how much time you and I have. Second, our time is limited. Job, God, everything in the book of Job is so depressing. Here's another one. Okay, we are like flowers of the field that look good today that are going to die tomorrow. Since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. Our time is limited. Therefore, you and I have got to be good stewards of the time that we have. I learned this verse this summer, and I'm debating whether or not to do this. I think I'm going to sing it to you because I learned it as a memory verse at camp. And so it's Ephesians 5:15-17, be good stewards of your time. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most use of the time because the days are evil, evil, evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, how about that? Thank you. Be good stewards of your time. So first thing I'm there, in light of those three scriptures, I want to talk through why you're too busy. Okay, every single one of us. The first one, I'm going to give you a couple reasons why you and I are too busy. One, we are people pleasers. We don't apply Galatians 1:10. We have the option of pleasing God or pleasing man. And we often choose to please man over pleasing God. Now, there are multiple manifestations of people pleasing. One example is I'm terrified of what you think of me. I want you to like me. I want you to approve me. My significance is found, like I'm glad that you clapped and cheered for my singing because I was really afraid of what you would think, okay? The other way that comes out in many of us is not just we're afraid of what people think and how they perceive us, but we fill our calendars because we never want to say no to anyone. If I say no, I'm going to let you down. And so fear of man is a trap. It's a snare. It's Proverbs 29:25. It's Galatians 1:10 that we choose to please others instead of pleasing God. Second reason why you and I are too busy is FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. If I don't say yes, I might miss out on something really good. Third is we're selfish. Okay, my schedule is to do with what I want with it. I'm not going to ask others. I'm not going to ask God. I'm going to do with it what I want. Next, tyranny of the urgent, that we choose the urgent over the important. Some of you are single parents, and you are, man, parenting is hard with me and Kristen, but a lot of you, you've got kids and there's no one else to help you, and that is incredibly busy. And so another legitimate reason why you and I are busy. Another one that this one cuts a little too deep is that busyness makes us feel adequate. That if I just sit at home and I don't have anything to do and I'm idle with my time, then I might actually just start thinking about, you know, my sin or my struggles or why am I alone or why am I not using my time? And so we fill. We try to fill the voids with activity and people. Okay, a lot of other reasons, but if you didn't resonate with any one of those, then please come up here and take the microphone and talk. Second point is the opposite of this, a little curveball here. Let me tell you why you and I, why we're not busy enough. Okay, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you should be busy. Now, we don't like the word busy, and so I want to flesh that out a little bit, but let me unpack that. If you're a follower of Christ, that means that there are so many great things that we can be a part of, that we read our Bible, that we get involved in community, that we serve, it's Galatians 6, too. When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. You know, and I've learned a lot over the years. One thing I've learned is that when we bear one another's burdens, it takes time. Okay, and that's what we're to do. We're fulfilling the law of Christ. And so if you're in community, if you're serving, if you're using gifts, you are absolutely busy because those things take time. Discipling the nations and making friendships and serving all takes time. So we should be busy. Okay, I just thought about this like last night, just talking to my wife about this tonight. I'm like, let me think, like how much less busy in some ways would our lives be if we weren't followers of Christ? Okay, we certainly wouldn't be part of community. What a whipping. Okay, so like being in a community group is a pain in the butt. And that's like one night a week. It's one morning of a week. Another morning I got to be out of the house. I wouldn't disciple people. Certainly wouldn't get up early on Sunday to go to church or Saturday night or Sunday night. You know, there's so many better things. And then like not to mention how much more money I think I'd have if I wasn't a Christian. And so all of these reasons, I'm like, these are good things. Like, I'm so glad that I'm in community as much of a whipping as it is. And I'm so glad I get opportunities to be at church and use my gifts and give. But those are all things that happen. When we're followers of Christ, we are called to read our Bible, and we're called to pray, and we're called to bear burdens. We're called to be with other believers, encourage one another. And so those things take time. And so we don't want to be idle. We ought to be busy. And so there's this tension that's built between we're too busy for the wrong reasons, and in some ways, we're not busy enough because there's so many great opportunities in front of us. And so because I can't solve the problem for you, I want to give you a really helpful tool that has been shown to me that I've used that's really changed my life. And so I gave you in the handout, ironically, the leaders, I've got a 7-page handout for a 9-minute talk. And so there's one page fill in the blank, then there's 3 pages on a blog post I wrote that really talks through what I'm going to share with you in the next 30 seconds. And then there's an example in there of something that I developed. It's a time decision-making grid. And so there's so many demands on our life. I had to figure out, how am I going to use my time well? How am I going to be a steward? What am I going to say yes to? What am I going to say no to? And so very simply, I listed out, here are all of the obligations and commitments I have. Here's the mornings I'm out. Here's what a weekend looks like. Here's what my nights look like. I then said, what are the roles that Scott Kadersha has? I'm a pastor. I'm to love God, love others. Okay, that's the primary thing. I'm to love my wife. I'm to love my kids. I'm to disciple others. I'm supposed to steward my body, and so I want to work out. I like to write, and so I'm a writer. So all of those things are demands of my time. And then I look at that list, and I look at the opportunities in front of me, and I say, how does this fit in with the opportunities, with the roles that I have? From there, I've got a list of questions that help me guide how I say yes and how I say no. And so what I really wanted in our time together is to help you think, how can I balance this tension between being too busy, not busy enough, all the opportunities in front of us, and then give you something that you can do on your own for homework? And so practically, the way this works is I take that list. An opportunity comes in front of us. Chris and I have been asked to lead a foundation group, which is a small group for newly married couples. We looked at the opportunities in our life, the roles in our life, the commitments we've made, and very simply got to say yes without much hesitation because it didn't fit in with the other commitments we made. The people pleaser in me wanted to say yes to that opportunity. Okay, so I wanted to give that to you. It's an easy way for you to think through, how do you use your time? Here's my confession on the back end of it. That stupid thing doesn't work unless you use it. Okay, so tonight, I'm here with you guys. I leave here, and I'm not going home. I'm going to another guy's house to meet with a group of 10 guys that he's discipling, and he asked me to come talk to them on dating and relationships. And I thought about the irony as I prepared for this talk to talk about busyness and decision-making. Do you know how many of those decisions I ran by my community group? 0. Yep, so it does you no good unless you apply what we've learned. Okay, and so I just challenge you guys with that. You've gotten a few minutes on busyness, and I want to challenge you to apply what you've learned. And so because I didn't, I made the commitment that I get the opportunity tomorrow night when I'm with my community group to ask for their forgiveness for not running things by them. And so a great confession opportunity and growth opportunity for me and my community group as I've fallen short in this. So apply what you've learned, okay? So many opportunities in front of us. God knows the amount of time we have. Our time is limited. Let's be good stewards of it, okay? That is all the time I get with you. And so I think there's, do I send them to the tables or to Amy? Just tell them, talk through the questions. Yep, there's questions on there and your table leaders are gonna talk you through it. Let me pray. I'm over a minute, but I'm gonna pray. That's more important than anything else. So God, help us to be good stewards of our time. Thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you that you know exactly the number of days that each one of us has. And God, I pray that we would hear, one day we'd hear, well done, good and faithful one. And one of those ways I pray we're faithful is that we'd be faithful with our time, that we would not be ruled by fear of man, that we would be ruled by your love, that your love would compel us to make wise decisions with our schedule, with our relationships. Help us to say no when we need to say no. Help us to say yes when we need to say yes. And God, more than anything, I pray that we'd honor you with the way that we use the time you've given us. Thank you that you've given us more than enough time for everything that you want us to do. Thank you that you are the creator of time, that you're even above time, and that you have stewarded, or you've given us the challenge and the opportunity to steward the time that you've given us. In Christ, and we pray, amen.
So, yeah, what, man, it is awesome to be with everyone tonight here as we close out October, right? Yeah. And it is kind of hard to believe that the holidays are right around the corner. And it's even harder for me to be standing here. It was 7 years ago that I was in China with some friends in a small ministry, loving on huge numbers of Chinese public school English teachers. And I had to have a passport, of course, to get myself out of the country and, of course, into China. And so in a really practical way, this passport, you know, my identity was determining my destiny. And but it really isn't my full identity, right? It says, hey, I live in Texas. I was born in Georgia in 1966. I'm an American. But it really, and of course it has a picture. I don't know if it really looks like me anymore. I lost a lot of hair since then. You know, our identification really isn't enough to answer the question, who am I, right? It doesn't tell the whole story. I mean, there's so many answers that each one of us could add to the end of that phrase, I am, right? And I don't know how you guys normally answer that question. I mean, some people answer it with their geography, maybe their relationship status, their career labels, and maybe even you whip out your passport. Does anybody do that? Probably not, right? But we're all searching for an answer. This is a really huge question, right? Like, who am I? And I want to submit tonight that our culture is absolutely obsessed with finding an answer to that question. In fact, I think we've moved well past the identity crisis into a place that I'm going to call it an identity hurricane, okay? And I'm going to call it Hurricane I, okay? And that is a problem, okay? I'm talking a class 5 hurricane, right? And it's out there sweeping across the culture, and it's reshaping the way people think about everything from gender, sexuality, race, biology, history, the government, politics, religion, and on we could go, right? And in so many ways, it's no longer okay to say that I am who I was created to be. It's, well, I think, therefore I am. Or maybe more like today, it's I feel I am, therefore I am who I feel I am, right? Or even, well, I decide who I am, that's who I am. And that is a really dangerous place for us to be, because answering our first question here, which is who are you, who am I, it's absolutely loaded with problems, because searching for our identity only in ourselves eventually leads to futility. We are created beings, right? And see, This passport, there's a story that goes with it. During my time in China, my kids and their mom, my ex-wife Sue, they were traveling the world during the year I was in China. They were visiting schools and orphanages and really famous places in 33 countries on 6 continents during the year I was in China. And they had a pretty amazing journey. But around Christmas that year, this was 2009, just after that, I got a phone call from Sue asking me if her stepmom had unexpectedly died, and she needed to go home to Canada, and they were in Asia at the time. And so she called me and said, hey, would you mind coming to be with the kids while I go home to Canada? And of course, the next day I was at the Beijing airport trying to get on an airplane, and I was going to fly through Shanghai to Thailand so I could end up in Bhutan where my kids were. Now I get to the ticket desk, and the travel agent forgot to book my connection to Shanghai. So I'm stuck. There I'm in Chinese airport with a phone. I don't know who to call. I don't even know who the travel agent is. I went scurrying around looking for phones and people to call. And in the process, I lost my passport. This is a true story. I still can't believe it even happened. I was in a complete panic. I spent the whole night trying to figure out what to do. That was a problem. But I was determined to accomplish this mission to support my ex and go see my kids. I could have gone, and I was like, man, maybe I could just create a fake ID, right? How many of us do that, right? I could have said, hey, I look a lot like Derek Jeter or maybe Vladimir Putin, right? And try to pull that off, right? But that wasn't going to happen. So, I mean, how many of us put a fake ID out there to the world, right? I mean, not just on a piece of paper, but with our life, right? So I needed a new passport. Of course, thankfully, the next morning I did. I got an emergency passport issued by the U.S. Embassy in 2.5 hours. It was miraculous, right? It was. It was unbelievable. I was praying like I've never prayed before. I'm like, I'm going to get out of this country. I'm going to see my kids. But you know what? There was still a big problem. I got my passport, but you know what you still have to get out of the country? You have to have an exit visa. Guess what I didn't have? I didn't have an exit visa. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to go get an exit visa. So I cruise across town and went to the Chinese embassy. You know what they told me? You can't leave for 2 weeks. Sorry. Come back later. I'm like, well, that's not going to work. That's absolutely not going to work. So you know what I did? I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I'll tell you the rest of that in just a minute. Because I was stuck, all right? And here's the truth, that this outside authority in the world was telling me that I didn't have the proper ID to get on my destination and fulfill the mission I was supposed to be on, okay? And so my second point here is that our earthly identity is inadequate to live our divine destiny. And we're gonna talk about how we get there in just a minute, okay? Because this who am I question is really huge. I mean, I had my earthly identity, right? I had my passport. What I needed was an outside authority so I could fulfill my destiny, right? So as important as it is to ask the question, who am I, it's much more important to ask now or any time for that matter, who does the ultimate outside authority, okay, which is God? Who does he say that I am? We are all created beings, and we must ask that question and consider the question, who does my creator say that I am, okay? So let's look for a moment at Genesis 1:26, okay? This one small sentence in the beginning of our Bibles where it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Small sentence, at least two giant truths in there. First, we are created. I mean, it's plain and simple. If we're going to believe we're created beings, we were created. We're not the maker. We're not the creator. We're not the designer. God is the maker. And second, we're made in the image of God. Could we just pause for a second and just sit in the reality of how spectacular that is? The God of the universe wants to put his image on us as human beings to put that. There's 7 billion of us on the planet. It must be something pretty important if God created 7 billion, and never mind the 40 billion people who've already died, that, like, that's a lot of image bearers, okay? Now, there's some bad news, okay, that we also hear from our Creator. If we're honest and we go read Ephesians, it tells us that we are born with a sin nature. Okay, Ephesians 2:1 tells us that we were born dead in our trespass. Somehow we're born physically alive, but we're also born dead. Okay, and this is because of our sin nature. Just like without this exit visa, I wasn't leaving China to see my kids. See, we are all prevented from seeing the one who we were made to see without having the one thing we need in order to see him, right? And so, but there's good news, right? Those of us who know Jesus, the good news of the gospel, right, is that Jesus Christ, who came to satisfy God's wrath against our sin and its nature by being our perfect substitute and paying our infinite debt, right, we can be given a brand new identity, right? We can get that exit visa to leave our old sin nature in which we once walked, okay? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? Thank you. All right. Now, once we've been given this new identity, right, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm sure many of you have read this and thought about it and maybe memorized it, I hope. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. So we have to ask the question, what is this new that has come? Right? And Paul gives us an answer in Galatians, the first part of Galatians 2:20. When he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, could we stop and pause on that for just a second? I don't know about you guys, but I could live on that for the rest of my life. I rehearse that in my mind every single morning on my way to work and go, man, I'm going to go in here, and the God of the universe wants to image himself through my flesh into this land of teenagers I'm about to walk into. Are you kidding me? Like, how glorious is that, right? Now, Paul, if you want to get a picture of some further identities, there's once we've been made new in Christ, there is this giant array of answers that we can add to that phrase, I am. And I'm sure many of you have done that, and I hope you have. I'm going to trust that you will spend some time at your tables doing that tonight, because the answers to who I am in Christ will set you free from the hurricane called I, right? Hurricane I, we need to be set free from that, right? And Jesus is the one that's going to do it, okay? When we're given a brand new identity, we can have a new answer to who am I, okay? But I do want to put this idea out there that we need to ask another question, okay? If it's Christ who we find our new identity, and we were made to image him who is the visible image of the invisible God, I think we have to ask this question, which is, who does Jesus say that he is, right? Not only who I am in Christ, but who is Jesus, right? And if we look at what Jesus was referring to, if you go to John in chapter 8, verse 58, the Pharisees are coming at him going, hey, who are you? Who are you running around? Like, who the heck are you? And he gives a whole bunch of answers, and the one he lands on right here, in 8:58, it says, before Abraham was, I am. Now that, folks, that's Jesus saying, I'm God. And he was referring back to Exodus when God was telling Moses who he was, right before he sent him on his mission. See, anytime God wants to send us out on a mission, before he's going to set us out on a mission, he's going to remind us of who he is. And see, his name isn't I was or I will be. His name is I am. And he lives outside of time and space. He is the great I am, the permanent now. And he's always available all the time in all of his nature. I don't know about you guys, but that's absolutely stunning to me. And we have that to go image to the world. My last point here is that our identity in Christ is crucial to our destiny. And Jesus' identity is our most important reality. Both of those things are true. Right, we don't want to just stop on who I am in Christ. We need to go ask that question, is who does he say he is, and do we know him? And he made us to know him so that we could go image him into the world in every place that we go, all the time, everywhere, no matter what we're doing, eating, drinking, teaching, listening, resting, not trying not to be too busy. Whatever we're doing, he says, I want you to image so that other people can see who I am, right? And come join the family, right? Now, there is a great, there is a fun end to this story, and God didn't have to answer it this way. I ran around that airport for hours trying to get myself out of that place. I never got a visa. I never got one. But I walked my way out. It's crazy. Ask me later. I don't have time to tell the rest of the story. It was nuts, okay? No, I'm going to tell you right now, but there's too many details. I'm just going to tell you the most important part was that I got to the place where the security was like, we're either going to have to see your exit visa or we're not letting you out. And I got to that place, and they were like, well, we're not letting you out. And you know what I did? I was praying the whole time, and I'm like, and I was on the phone with Sue. She was crying. I handed the phone. She's like, can I talk to that guy? I'm like, here, talk to him. And I literally sat down in his chair, this brown plastic chair, and I had my bag, and I was just praying. I was like, God, you got to get me out of here, man. Like, and then this lady took the phone, and she went upstairs and talked to the person in charge. And you know what happened when she came down? They said, you may leave. God didn't have to do that, did he? If he would have said no, he's still good. But he let me out, right? God said that your earthly identity is not going to limit my reality for you. And I got to go, oh, my God, I'm still like, it just gives me chills that he would do that. Like, the Chinese government, like, God's like, whatever, go, right? It was nuts. I'm taking too much time already, but I went to the ticket desk and I was like, is there any more flights to Thailand? And they're like, can I see your passport? And I'm like, yes. And they go, look at this, you're on the next flight out in 20 minutes. And I'm like, what? Like, who got me a ticket? And the lady's like, this is your lucky day. You've been upgraded to first class. Unbelievable. And then I went rushing up there. I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to miss the flight anyway. And they're like, come on through. And you know that we prayed and I got let out. And then this cart pulls up and goes, would you like a ride to the bus? And I'm like, yes, yes, take me there. And I got on the van and I got on the plane. And one of my friends like, you shouldn't say this part, but I'm going to say it anyway. I sat down and ordered a mimosa. And I'm like, dude, I was calling my camp. I'm like, I'm on the plane, bro, in first class. I'm going to Bhutan, right? Yeah. So let me just say, hey, can we just celebrate that when we're in Christ, there's nothing he won't do for his kids, right? So I hope y'all will celebrate that tonight. All right, thanks for listening. All right, and I'm gonna let y'all pray together. And thanks for listening.